Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday morning, July 30th, almost done with July 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it. That wasn't a feel-good win. That guy was lying. That felt bad. That was a feel-bad win.
He wasn't a lion. He's a tiger.
That was a feel-terrible win for DraftKings because someone probably invested heavily and Danny Duffy against the Tigers last night. It was feeling real good after four innings. I bet they were if they did that with every team that they drafted because Danny Duffy appeared to be a good value. And so if someone had a lot riding on Danny Duffy, then they felt bad.
Well, judging by my Twitter account, that would have been someone named Steven.
Right. Well, there was a hypothetical.
Oh, it was. Okay. My bad.
I was projecting.
Ah, projection.
I thought the fifth inning was stupid.
Yep.
From my seat. And so, yeah, I didn't, you know, I mean, oh. Yeah, that, you know, Mike Matheny's right. You heard Mike Matheny say that he was surprised that ball made it out. I mean, off the bat, I thought that was going to be a routine fly ball. And Witt kept going back and back, and I'm like, what? I don't know what he is doing. He gets the kicks off, and then, I mean, I don't know what he was doing. And then I go, whoa, okay. And then I thought he was going to catch it, and then it just hit that yellow line, and it was a home run. And I go, This is just ridiculous. And then they showed the replay. He almost caught it. He all freaking most caught it. And that was, just imagine. Just think if he would have caught that damn ball. Totally different game. We're probably talking about the Royals getting a victory here. That was just, man. And Duffy looked really good, too. Up to that point, but then it just kind of fell apart in the fifth inning. So, Royals had a 4-1 lead, and they watch it dissipate. Duffy gives up three runs in the fifth, two of those on the home run that almost wasn't, and then the Tigers get a single run in the seventh to take the 5-4 victory. And again, the Royals unable to do anything with. Going into the season, what was described as a really bad bullpen. And the last couple of nights, it did not look like a really bad bullpen. It looked like an inconsistent offense that could do nothing with an assortment of pitchers that make up the Tigers. Still, I think, below average bullpen. Right? The Royals just made them look good. And the bats, after looking great the first three innings, just absolutely went to sleep. I mean, hey, look, even if it was after it was the last couple of nights, after it was 4-4, the Royals aren't done scoring. Not against this bullpen. And I'll be damned if they weren't done. Both back-to-back nights, just absolutely shut down by the Tigers bullpen. And the Tigers win the game 5-4. And that's just not good. The Tigers are not good. The Tigers should be, on paper, the worst team in the division, and this is a team that the Royals need to take advantage of playing. They need to beat the Tigers. They need to be better than the Tigers. And I understand it's only one series, but it's different. We have to talk about it differently. Every game worth 2.7 games of a 162-game season. So every game's almost worth three damn games. So I feel like the Royals lost three games last night. They didn't. They lost 2.7 games. Close enough for me. Royals-Tigers back at it again tonight in hopes that the Royals can earn a split. and get out of there with a split in this four-game series.
It's like kissing your sister.
Yeah, is it?
That's what they say.
Well, you're the only one.
Yeah, I was going to say, Steven and I don't have sisters, so we wouldn't be saying
is
that.
Is it?
Nate, you have a sister.
I don't know that I've ever kissed my sister, so I can't really.
That's something I think that you would know.
Like, you were
I mean,
soccer
maybe
guy,
like when
you've
I was
been,
really
you've been involved
young,
in
you know?
Many, many ties, and you've had your sister for all your life.
I might just go with, I just might go with from here
many
on out. I've never kissed my sister. I just, if
well,
I were
when
you,
I was a little kid, like before I was old enough to remember, it's possible I gave her a smooch on the cheek one time or something.
We're not living in possibilities. We're
well, I don't want to make a statement I can't verify, but I don't think I've ever kissed my sister.
Well, I'd just pretend I could verify that.
Well, that's where you and I are different.
Yep.
Hey, Brady Singer night tonight.
Yeah.
Now, see, I can obviously I'm not. Nah.
No, what?
You got mad last time I made this offer, so I'm not doing it. I'll offer Jacob then.
To kiss my sister?
Let's have you the next time that you have to call a draw. In for sporting, right?
Right.
Right away, we'll have Jake run over, kiss your sister, and then you guys compare feelings.
Well,
hey, Jake, what's that feel like? And then I'll say, hey, Nate, what'd that draw feel like? What did that tie feel like?
I feel like there would be consent needed, and I don't think consent would be given.
Yeah, I agree with Jake on that. So
or it might readily be given. Well, how do you know? I mean, you know.
Well, then there would be two angry parties, I believe.
Yeah.
If Nate, let's go away from this example.
Or you know what? or a whole bunch of happy parties. It's 2020.
How about, okay, I don't need to be kissing anybody in a pandemic.
Yeah, right now there's no.
In the future. Put it on the table, man. I'm forward thinking.
You
We're
are.
Progressive.
This thing's going to be over at some point.
Okay.
I would never say that you definitely are a forward thinking man.
That's right.
You guys are out in Leawood. I'm trying to speak your language.
I claim Overland Park.
Yeah, well, claim it all. You don't have to claim just a little bit. Claim it all. It's all yours.
I've never claimed Leawood.
Not going to be any ties in the sporting game tonight, though, buddy.
Mm-mm. No, sir. And so, as you mentioned, we have a big night of the sports watching tonight. Hopefully the Royals will. Boy, it would be really bad if they lost 3 out of 4 to the Tigers, but it hasn't happened yet. Brady Singer, save us all tonight. Brady Singer on the mound, looking to build upon what we saw in his impressive first start against Ivan Nova for the Detroit Tigers. That will be tonight, just after 6 o'clock in Detroit. So that's good stuff. That'll bring us back around. Hopefully Brady Singer will look good again. And, I mean, just think how much different that'll feel if let's say Brady Singer gets pummeled like Andy Reid used to about players not showing up for OTAs. If he gets pummeled and then the Royals lose the series, ugh. Versus, let's say Brady Singer looks good again and the Royals win it, they get out of there with a split and they're feeling good coming home. So this is, they're all big games. This game is a pivotal game, though.
If I get pummeled on who's here and not here, we'll just do the one.
No. We do not want him to get pummeled.
Mm-mm.
So let's go Brady Singer. And then, as Nate mentioned, we also have Sporting Kansas City on the docket tonight. And so give us the rundown of the wins and wheres and whys for Sporting Kansas City tonight.
Sporting Kansas City plays in the quarterfinals of the MLS Is Back tournament tonight against the Philadelphia Union, and that game will kick off just after 7 o'clock on ESPN and on your home for Sporting Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB. So a chance to punch their tickets to the semifinals of this competition. And Philadelphia, one of the bright spots, one of the teams that people like the most in terms of the way they performed in the group stages, and maybe a matchup of the two best goalies in MLS, because we all know Tim Melia is one of the best goalkeepers in MLS, and Andre Blake is the goalkeeper for Philadelphia, and he is really, really good. He's won Goalkeeper of the Year a couple times in the league. In this competition, he's been making just incredible save after incredible save through the course of it. So So he's a guy to watch. It's going to be a good competition. There's some really good, exciting young players from Philadelphia that are drawing some serious interest from some European teams and some high-priced veterans as well on that team. So should be a good game tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Who's the Vegas favorite?
You know what?
Come on, Jake.
The other day, when it got to the group stages, Vegas put out the odds in terms of who was going to win the whole tournament, and Sporting was the number one favorite to win the whole tournament. I think that had to do more with their draw than anything on their side of the bracket. But I think I saw that they're underdogs in this actual game against Philadelphia slightly.
Oh, really?
I think I saw that. But we had to check in with Vegas Jake on that. He would know better than me.
I'm looking up the current, just so we're current.
Yeah.
I'm sure a guy with connections there could clear that up for us.
I'm about to clear it up. MLS, team to advance. Let's see what we got here. This is really exciting radio.
It is for me.
Soccer.
Very exciting.
There's a lot of tension here building because
building.
We want to know.
But gambling is, this is only if you're in Vegas can
right.
you bet.
Right.
They're a slight favorite. The Sporting Kansas City is a +102. No, so Philadelphia's slight favorite. Philadelphia's +261. Sporting Kansas City +102. And a +270 for a draw. So that would be penalties. If it goes to penalties, 270.
538 gives Sporting KC a 47% chance of advancing.
Over under total goals, 2.5 on the match.
What do you got there?
Ooh, with these two goalkeepers going?
Mm. Jake, over under 2.5.
I'd say under.
All right. Also tonight, as I've been reminded 42,000 times by a gentleman named Phil St. John, NBA basketball is back. Damn. Damn. All that tonight, people.
Hello.
Oh, isn't this awesome? Act accordingly.
Yeah.
That's a very good song, and I love this very much. But after we hear Round Ball Rock by John Tesh, can I also please hear One Shining Moment? Because I'd like to dedicate that to Phil. And he can stop telling me that the NBA starts in 4 days, Dad. Hey, I know, because yesterday you said it was 5 days. So then today I was able to figure out it was 4.
Clippers-Lakers tonight?
You know what tomorrow is, don't you? Let me guess. Is it the NBA? Yeah. How do you know? Because you just told me an hour ago, Phil. Oh.
So how?
Tipping off with the Utah Jazz and New Orleans Pelicans. Oh, Jared Sutton in the house. Pelicans.
Zion.
And the Clippers and Lakers. Those are the two showdowns tonight as the league will begin its 22-team, 8-game wrap-up. That's right. Play one. It is one shining moment because we never got March Madness.
So oh, this kind of hurts my heart.
Basketball games that we were waiting for. We finally get them. We only had to wait until the end of July, but here we are. Take me back to when I was on stage at the Big 12 tournament ready to have at it. I was actually there for an entire evening, firing people up for absolutely nothing. Boy, that seems like a lifetime ago. But the 22-team, 8-game wrap-up to the regular season, all inside Disney's ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex in Orlando. A possible play-in tournament for the 8th seed and full playoff schedule will follow. Utah and New Orleans, Clippers and the Lakers. Well, Jake has his finger on the pulse of Vegas. Let's go ahead and hear what the experts have to say about those two. What do we got tonight, Jake? And these are for, this is absolutely, positively just for entertainment purposes. But I like to let people know, because I have a lot of friends that have just been anxiously awaiting to hypothetically
Lakers are
bet on
a,
different games.
Lakers are a 4.5-point favorite over the Clippers.
Oh.
The total for the game is over-under would be 216. The and then the early game that you mentioned, the Jazz and the Pelicans are 2.5-point favorite in that.
With Pelican.
Fly, Pelican, fly!
We'll go to Pelican.
The funny thing is that it was a flamingo.
I'm so torn right now. Not really, but Quinn Snyder versus Jarrett Sutton is not a showdown that I've really ever anticipated.
One of those gentlemen will be on the show tomorrow.
Quinn Snyder?
I'm not going to tell you which one. No, you just have to wait until the show tomorrow and find out.
Do you remember when I used to request Quinn Snyder to come on the show almost every month after he left Missouri? And then I gave up. Let's start that back up again. Just for blanks and giggles. I'd like to talk to him, but he's doing well. But on this eve, I will not be able to root for him. I will root for Jarrett Sutton's hair and the New Orleans Pelicans organization. Well, boy, I don't know what else. Can you fit anything else on your plate for tonight when you've got the Royals and Brady Singer on the mound?
Hello, this is Quinn Snyder, and you're listening to the best sports talk in Kansas City. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That's right.
There he is. There he is. One of these days, you're going to have to find the clip when he's come on the show on a weekly basis and right before it all fell apart.
And was that when he's in the bathtub?
No, maybe. We were talking about
sticking his foot in someone's ass?
San Jose, and we shoved it up their rears.
Right, that's the one.
Because I brought up, I was trying to, I can't remember what we were talking about. I said, look back. Doesn't seem that long ago that I was interviewing you outside the locker room in San Jose, the NCAA. He goes, that's right. And look at her. And like, oh. But he's now off to greener pastures with the Utah Jazz as they take on the New Orleans Pelicans tonight and the Clippers and the Lakers. You've got the Royals and Brady Singer. You've got Sporting Kansas City in the quarterfinals. You've got the NBA with a nice doubleheader tonight. A wonderful Thursday night to watch sports. Something that we have longed for. And you have options, too. You can change the channel, and there's other sports and other games on at the same time. I had to sit the kids down and explain it to them. Now, see, kids, this is the way it used to be. Daddy would lock himself in the room, and you could hear him cussing because he's watching different games. Like last night, Dad, when Danny Duffy gave it the home run. Nope, that's not like that. That was a different type of cussing. So you have to be able to read the different curse words, and that can tell you the mood of your parents. So we're very excited. We have a wonderful show planned for you, I think, right? It's wonderful. We are going to talk to Buster Olney.
We think this is I'm currently in. So Buster was just asked to go on Up at the conclusion of the KBO broadcast. So we're definitely going to have Buster on. But we're working around a flexible schedule. So it might be 7:30, might be 7, a little bit after 7. So right now we are flexible, but he'll be in the 7 o'clock hour, I believe.
Unless floating Buster only right now.
Unless we have to move him up to 6. But he'll be on. We're having Buster on.
That's all that matters, as long as he's on the show.
He's going
to
be
on. Talk to Buster in the 7 o'clock hour.
Maybe he needs to tell the guys that get up that, you know, that we take precedent.
I don't know that we do, though.
Why, just because that's his employer?
Yeah, I think ESPN kind of tells him what to
do. Gosh, the arrogance.
I know, but I only have so much power.
When did Gary go on vacation last?
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
It was very recent, right?
Yeah, within the last month.
He always acts like I'm busting his balls when I talk about the vacation, but he was just on vacation, right?
Look, he is.
Is he mad at us?
No,
is
no.
Is he really on vacation?
It's not us. It's certainly not us.
Where is he this time?
He's in Tahoe.
That's right. But that's a vacation.
He was in California. His cousins got married or something in California a couple weeks ago. Something like that. I don't know. He's got family everywhere.
Because you never know. He can go to some exotic locale and say, I'm at a meteorologist convention. I'm like, are you?
Yeah.
Because he says that a lot. So he's not, that's right, he said he's going with his friend. I just wanted to make sure that this wasn't like a some mysterious meteorologist convention in Lake Tahoe that no one has heard about. But Jeff Penner will pinch hit. He'll be coming off the bench tonight, and he'll look to get on base for us. We will also talk to Tim Grunhard in the 8 o'clock hour. And again, I don't know if Jake thinks I'm stupid, like Anchorman, and I'm just going to read what he says. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say that Timmy's on at 9:05 because I know he's on at 8:05. Because 8:05 comes after 7:58, and you're not going to get me. I was confused for a moment.
Copy and paste.
I was like a
Timmy was like on in dog. The 9 o'clock hour last week.
I was like a dog reacting when the can opener's running, or some type of sound when the dog's head kind of cocks sideways. I'm like 9:05. Wait a minute. He will be on the show in the 8 o'clock hour because Jake has booked his uncle Bob Ibach at 9:05 to talk about snatching baseballs. We'll find out more about that. Boy, that's got you intrigued, doesn't it? Sure it does, at 9:05. And then 9:30, Matt Beasler. So that's a full show. Can't pack anything more. Well, we could, but I don't want to. It's a full show for you on this Thursday, July 30th. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're being flexible, so I believe we'll have Buster only on the next segment because we want to talk to Buster and whatever we have to do to make it work, that's what we will do. But we went, we ran down the schedule for sports tonight, but yesterday the big story in KC was, even though I don't like what it says, I just like the presentation of this headline at NFL.com. Super Bowl LIV hero Damian Williams opts out of 2020 season. So let's just take a moment of silent reflection and remember that Damian Williams is a Super Bowl LIV hero. How did it feel when he scampered for that touchdown that sealed the deal? Remember where you were? Think about it. Really, just think about it. Just sit back. Well, not if you're driving. Don't sit back. Pay attention. Your eyes on the road, please. Hands on the steering wheel, eyes on the road. All right? But just allow yourself a moment to think where you were, who you were with, and how you reacted when Damian Williams scored the touchdown that put it away. Just wonderful.
I was on stage in a jam-packed Power and Light district, and I turned and I yelled into the microphone, the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl.
Todd, our red-ass friend Todd from Independence, threatened me and told me not to cry as I was crying. And I said, you can't tell someone don't cry when there's already tears on their face.
I do that to my kids all the time, though.
But like you said, you better not cry.
Yep.
What do you mean to do? And I wasn't crying. It was just, I don't care.
Second down, six from the 38. Hand off to Williams. Got a block from the fullback. He's at the 35, the 30. Breaks a tackle on the sideline. 20, chasing him down the sideline. The 10, the 5. Touchdown! That's it! That's it! A 38-yard touchdown run by Damian Williams.
Brett Veach said in a statement, as an organization, we certainly understand and respect Damian's choice, knowing it was made in the best interest of his family. He means a lot to our football team as a player and a person, and we're going to miss having him around this season. And look, Damian Williams makes the right decision for him and his family. All I can do is say thank you, Damian Williams, for being a part of the greatest Chiefs football team these eyes have ever seen and for playing your absolute best football in the postseason. and running for over 100 yards in the Super Bowl. And that's it. And this is not the arrogance. Oh, maybe it is. He's a fine player, but the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They have some nice depth at running back, and they will be absolutely positively just fine. Does anyone disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with that. In fact, for the first time since I made the prediction, I'm feeling a lot better about my predictions for Clyde Edwards-Helaire's production.
Oh, don't
in 2020.
Please. Just let it happen.
That's right.
Let it happen all around you. What are you giggling for back there?
I saw the Vegas numbers for Edwards-Helaire went through the roof yesterday.
What is he giggling back there for?
I don't know. So you never know what that mad scientist is doing behind the glass.
You never do know. It's
kind of a wry smile.
Well, I'm sure you went to Vegas and backed up all your big words earlier.
No, I.
Oh.
I did not go to Vegas.
Oh,
no.
Oh man, if you would have jumped. Jumped on that back then, that would have been.
Man, you missed
it. You real reason to gloat now. Oh. That's right. If you would have got those odds a long time ago.
I should have.
Right.
Should have jumped
on
that.
Numbers. You were so confident.
I did something.
So sure.
You know what? I did something even ballsier. I staked my reputation on this radio station with those words.
Oh gosh!
What little reputation there is.
Poor Gersh.
And remember, they did sign DeAndre Washington. They still have Darwin Thompson and Darrell Williams, but not everyone agreed with it. But I think even Jay could say, "Boy, I don't
Hell
know if they knew
yes.
something was up or whatever." But how great does that first round pick look now?
Brilliant!
What the hell?
Now it's a position of need, and they have it.
Well, that looks like the most brilliant first round pick ever. Now.
Ever.
Brett Veach, the Midas Touch. Let's talk to Buster only after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati, now joined by Buster only at a very special time. Hello, Buster. How are you?
I'm not doing well. What's up with Mahomes? Number four? I mean, that is crazy. I can't even imagine, because if you were to poll every general manager in the NFL and ask them, would you rather have Mahomes or, for example, Russell Wilson? What are you kidding? Let's go. Forget the baseball stuff. That one drove me crazy. My 16-year-old son and I were texting back and forth last night, and he was asking me about, you know, what's going to happen with the doubleheaders and the Marlins. Like, no, what's up with Mahomes?
You know what? It's actually perfect, Buster, because we need a reason in Kansas City to have a chip on our shoulder at all times, and that's like the only thing that was missing from this Chiefs team getting ready for 2020 was some reason to feel slighted, and now we got it. So everybody's ready to go now. It's perfect.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. That one was like a shocker when we found out with top 10 where I'm like, okay, well, Mahomes would be one, and then who, and then I was guessing Aaron Donald would be two, and then on down the line, and then you're like, what? It was crazy.
Buster Olney knows. Buster Olney's NFL rankings has Patrick Mahomes number one
that's
overall,
right. And
that's all that matters. And so that overrides the NFL Network rankings in Kansas City. Okay, Buster, let's talk some baseball. First, what did you think of Joe Kelly and his performance against the Houston Astros? And then the 8-game suspension, which many people feel is too harsh.
Yeah, just watching that the other day, I mean, Joe Kelly was spraying the ball all over the place. For some reason, the last 2 years, he just has absolutely struggled to command his fastball. And then it felt like, as you're watching it, when he got to 3-0 on Alex Bregman, it was like, well, you know what? Let's make the best of this situation. From his perspective, let's settle a score for some of my teammates, because, of course, he wasn't on that team in 2017. And then, you know, he throws the ball behind Bregman, and then he spun a breaking ball right near Carlos Correa. A lot of people have said, well, it was a slider, so it wasn't on purpose. I don't buy that. I think it absolutely was. Only Joe Kelly knows for sure. And then, of course, you had all the chirping. And, you know, I thought when the umpires didn't do anything – you know, historically baseball has followed the leads of the umpires on the field in terms of rendering discipline. Only rarely did they step out. And not only did they step out and suspend Joe Kelly, but you talk about a whopper. I mean, this goes beyond any kind of precedent we've seen. And to get an 8-game suspension in a 60-game season, that's the equivalent of a 21-game suspension. The Dodgers people were losing their minds. They were shocked. They were outraged by it. And, you know, feeling like this is not right. They also were noting that Dusty Baker was yelling at Joe Kelly during the inning, and how was it that he got just only a fine and Dave Roberts got a suspension? I would say this, and there's no question, it doesn't match precedent, and it was a heavy penalty. You know, back in 2017 when the sign-stealing stuff began to burble up and it was a Red Sox-Yankee situation, Rob Manfred came out with a slap of the wrist of the Red Sox, and I wrote a column at the time saying, "No, he needs to come out and to render discipline that he knows is going to alter behavior, and bring the hammer down." And that is what he failed to do in 2017. That contributed to what happened with the Astros, in my opinion. And you know that the lack of the hammer was a real problem. And I feel like, in this case, he came down with a hammer that he intends to alter behavior with. You know what? Enough of this. I don't want to foster a situation where teams are taking shots at the Astros. So I'm going to send a message to Joe Kelly, to teams around baseball, by giving him this huge suspension.
Okay, Buster, speaking of trying to alter behavior, the situation with the Miami Marlins, MLB has added some protocols, and they're going to add a protocol compliance officer. First of all, how come every time I watch games, I see guys in the dugouts not social distancing and not wearing masks? And second of all, have they gotten to the bottom of why the outbreak happened with the Marlins, and how much do you think this is going to help things, these new protocols?
I think it's good, and you know, I've seen some people say, well, yeah, that should have been in place ahead of time. Look, it's an unprecedented situation, and they're, let's face it, making it up as they go. And the holes are being exposed through practical experience on a daily basis, and they're doing what they can to expose the holes. You know, I've heard a couple of stories, I'm sure you guys have too, about what took place with the Marlins. I can't tell you that I've been able to confirm those stories, but people with other teams are livid about the possibility of what might have happened. And it's very interesting because, you know, on Monday when all this was breaking, there was a, you know, a general public sentiment of, man, this is all falling apart. You know, it shows that baseball, it's not going to work. And at the team level, the more the reaction was, those stupid Marlins.
Wow.
Like, where their feeling was, most teams that I talk to now are much more confident than they were a month ago that this could work. And they feel like, man, guys are doing a good job. They're staying in line. They're doing what we're asking them to do, and we're good. We're feeling good about the fact that we haven't any positive tests. We're talking with family members. We're good. And so, in a couple of instances, Dave Martinez, the manager of the Nationals, you know, he talked about fear. I heard a lot more talk with other teams that was more about anger, about let's go. You know, let's try to figure out a way to make this work.
Surgical masks instead of cloth masks, no leaving the hotel on the road, and a mandatory compliance officer. You can read more about it at Jeff Passan's article. Buster retweeted it. I retweeted it, and so more details there. All right, Buster, before we let you go, are we going to see an adjustment to the length of games for doubleheaders in Major League Baseball?
I think we will, and it might come up this weekend when you have the Blue Jays playing against the Phillies. It only makes sense. You know, when we had the postponements of the Marlins games, and I think some of the purists were saying, boy, how are we going to keep fair and balanced schedule? My reaction, forget it. It's not going to be fair and balanced. It's going to be weird and crazy because it's 2020 and they're trying to play a season in the middle of a pandemic. It really is like the game you played in the backyard as a kid where, you know, in my house, you know, growing up on a farm, if you hit the ball onto the barn roof, that was a home run. If you only hit the tin, it was a double. And you just kind of made it up as you went, and you
That's
went
right.
into it, not sure how long you would play. and then at some point you stop. And I really feel like that's where baseball is on this thing. So as they're going through the situation where they're trying to fit in as many games as possible, but while also trying to manage the wear and tear of players who are clearly not in typical mid-season form, especially the pitchers, it only makes sense. And everybody I was hearing from last night, this morning, was like, of course, put it to seven innings. You know, for years they've had the doubleheaders in the minor leagues be seven innings. And if you can reduce the stress on the players by putting out seven-inning product, why not do it?
Which is more likely to do a nine-inning game and a seven-inning game, or both games in the doubleheader seven innings?
I think they're going to go both games be seven innings.
I like it, Buster.
Based on what I hear. Now, there's a lot of different things flying around. Matt Klentak, the general manager of the Phillies, acknowledged yesterday that they may wind up going with that seven-inning doubleheader games this weekend, but we haven't got an official word on it. But again, they're just making it up. If they announce that on Saturday morning, oh, yeah, by the way, today's doubleheader, they're going to play seven innings, I think it would be a big shrug of the shoulders and players would be like, okay, let's go.
Buster, thanks for the time, and I'm happy to announce that you have been voted number one amongst the top 100 baseball analysts on the Board of Patrol.
That's right.
Number one, Buster. How about that? Unbelievable.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Buster.
See you guys.
Buster was outraged that Patrick Mahomes, number four. And let me just say my piece on that, because I know a lot of people were very mad and very angry. So what? Who cares? Honestly, it's stupid. It's so stupid and ridiculous, it does not deserve your time. What does deserve your time is to be reminded that Patrick Mahomes has won a regular season MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, and a Super Bowl championship for the Chiefs. And the NFL can shove those rankings up their ass. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks a lot for joining us. Thank you to Buster for being flexible with us. And thank you to us for being flexible with Buster to make that happen for you, because he had to go on the television in the 7 o'clock hour on ESPN. And so we were able to get Buster on a little bit early. And if you missed it, you could listen to it later on at 810WHB.com on the podcast page. Also, I want to mention that tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810WHB, you're going to have Sporting Kansas City in action, Nate Bucchetti. And then after Sporting is done and the final whistle, we will pick up action in progress between the Clippers and the Lakers as the NBA returns. So a MLS and NBA doubleheader tonight. Give us the timeline again for Sporting that will lead into the Clippers and Lakers right here on 810 tonight.
So 7 o'clock tonight, Sporting Kansas City against the Philadelphia Union in the quarterfinals of the MLS Is Back tournament. So game should be over around 9 o'clock. Now, could go to penalties like the last round did. There will be no extra time, but there could be penalties. If it goes to penalties, might end around 9:30 or so, 9:20. And then on to the NBA, which, what a way to kick off the NBA Is Back with the Clippers and Lakers. I guess minus Lou Williams, right?
NBA. There's no kicking off.
Yeah, that's right. They don't kick it off in that league, do they?
Can't kick off the NBA.
No, that's right.
Jake, this guy wants to kick off the NBA season, hey, huh?
He can't do that.
Get the kicks off?
No.
You know, it could have been because I was excited about it.
Well,
right.
All right.
Thank you. So all that and more tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And you can listen to Sporting and then listen to the Clippers and the Lakers. We'll be back after this on the Border Patrol. Thanks for Buster Only. Thank you to Buster Only for joining us in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to have Tim Grunhardt a little bit later. Also, Matt Beisler on the show. Got a lot of sound to play for you in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll hear some postgame. We've got Mike Matheny and Danny Duffy and Ian Kennedy. We've got comments from Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, about about the Big 12 football and also life. And also we'll hear about Lamar Jackson working out with Antonio Brown. Back after this on WHB.